puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time for Abandoned Manitoba. Gordon Goldschwa joins us in the studio. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
What are we discussing this week?
Well, recently we've heard about plans to resuscitate a long-abandoned building in the St. Boniface area of Winnipeg. And we're revisiting that building today to address the historical question, how have we taught teachers?
And what is that long-abandoned building in St. Boniface?
It's located on Rue Masson, and it's the former St. Boniface Normal School.
And remind us, Normal School, what is that?
Well, it's one that specializes in the training of public school teachers. It's called a normal school because its intention is to train teachers in the use of a standardized or normal curriculum. The one in St. Boniface was one of seven normal schools that have existed in Manitoba through the years, the others being at Brandon, Dauphin, Gretna, Manitou, Portage-la-Prairie, and, of course, here in Winnipeg. The St. Boniface facility was a one-story brick structure built in 1902 that had four classrooms on its main floor. In the basement was a recreation room and mechanical systems. The whole facility was different, though, from most of the other normal schools in that it initially provided bilingual training.
You said initially?
Yes. Unfortunately, in 1916, 14 years after the facility began operating, the provincial government amended the Public Schools Act, and they removed the provision for instruction in languages other than English. So, there was no longer any need for bilingual or francophone teachers, and therefore, you didn't need a francophone normal school. However, the building did continue in use for a variety of educational purposes right up until 1972, when it was converted into housing for senior citizens, but it's unfortunately been boarded up for at least a dozen years and probably longer. But a few weeks ago, it was announced that a development company would turn that vacant building into a multifamily residence with a mixture of studio, one-bedroom, and two-bedroom apartments. And just as importantly, the company will strive to preserve the building's historic character. And this is, to me, the best possible outcome for that old building.
Can we go back to that legislation that occurred in 1916? And what motivated it?
To answer that question, we have to jump back to 1896, to another amendment of the Public Schools Act that represented a compromise between Prime Minister Wilfrid Laurier and Manitoba Premier Thomas Greenway. It allowed for religious education in any language for 30 minutes at the end of every school day, so long as there were at least 10 students wanting it. Now, the 1916 legislation removed that amendment so that after that point, teaching in any language other than English was, well, illegal. The motivation, according to the Minister of Education at the time, was to speed up the integration of new immigrants into Canadian society, with the training of school children seen as the primary way to foster national unity. You know, the idea, I guess, was that if the children of immigrants came home speaking English that they'd learned in school, the thinking was that, you know, parents would soon follow.
Did anyone oppose that 1916 amendment?
Oh, yes. You know, there were at least two MLAs that registered their intense opposition to the change. Philip Talbot, for example, pointed out that Francophones had contributed significantly to the founding of Canada, and he vowed, with considerable foreshadowing of future events, the French will have their rights recognized if we have to fight for them. And of course, fight they did. Taras Furley, believed to be the first Ukrainian MLA in Manitoba's history, proposed a last-minute change to the Public Schools Act, under which there would be a gradual transition to English in higher school grades, with bilingual education offered in grades 1 and 2 in places where over 75% of the students spoke a language other than English.
So bilingual education has been in more languages than French.
Oh, yeah. And Taras Furley figured prominently here here too. From 1907 to 1910, he had been a teacher in Brandon at a facility called the Ruthenian Training School. Ruthenian is another name for Ukrainian. It was established in 1905, and it trained teachers for bilingual education in English and Ukrainian. Meanwhile, the normal school at Gretna trained teachers in German. Now, all these programs ceased in 1916 when the new Public Schools Act, which, by the way, did not include Furley's proposed change, was passed by the Manitoba Legislative Assembly by a vote of 35-8. Definitive, really, you know, it was forceful.
Now, of course, instruction in French is now widely available in Manitoba today.
Yeah, of course. And today we have educational programs in several languages. You know, for example, the Winnipeg School Division offers bilingual programs in Cree, Filipino, Hebrew, Ojibwa, Punjabi, Spanish, and Ukrainian. A school in Dauphin has a Ukrainian bilingual program. And I'm sure there are many more examples around the province where multilingualism is promoted. But before we leave the topic of how teachers were trained in the past, I'd like to point out another interesting tidbit of history that occurred between 1942 and the mid-1960s, the practice of permit teaching.
What was permit teaching?
Well, normally, to be eligible to teach in a Manitoba school, a person had to attend one of the normal schools, and they had to receive a certificate that attested to their teaching capabilities. During the Second World War, there was a severe shortage of trained teachers, you know, especially for the small one-room schools in rural Manitoba. So the rules were relaxed that allowed people who had completed grade 11 to teach in a country school, usually just for a year, maybe even less, after just a few weeks of basic training at a normal school. So in other words, you know, compared to what you would normally have to do to become a teacher, which was to attend the normal school for an entire year, with just a few weeks, you could head out and teach for up to a year with what they called this permit. But if they wanted to continue a career in education, if they found after that year they enjoyed it, well, they would have to return to the normal school and complete that 1 year of training.
Now, were there many such permit teachers?
You know, this is a question I really wanted to know, too. And I at first thought there wasn't really any good data on this, but I ended up spending some time at the Legislative Library and I found out, yes, there are actually quite a lot of data on it. And I found that, in fact, the peak year for permit teaching was 1947. In other words, just a couple of years after the Second World War ended, there were 871 permit teachers. Now, that doesn't really mean much unless you know what percentage that is of the total. It was about 20%. In other words, one out of every five teachers in Manitoba had little or no training to teach, which I find just absolutely astounding. Now, I do have some experience with the concept of permit teaching, too, because both of my parents started long careers in education as permit teachers. My dad, for example, graduated from high school, grade 12, then he trained for 6 weeks at the normal school before heading out. And by the way, he was 17 years old at the time to start his first teaching job at a one-room school. There, he was responsible for 33 students, and you know, some of them were just slightly older than him, and there's actually some that apparently he said were quite a bit bigger than him. So he did feel a little daunted by the experience, but he did persist. He returned to normal school for that 1 year to obtain his formal credentials and then went on to a lengthy career in education. Mom did more or less the same thing. Today, of course, very different. Teachers must have a university degree that, well, may take them 4 years or more to obtain. So we've obviously lengthened the time that it takes to teach teachers. However, the practice of permit teaching is still around. It's undergoing a recent resurgence. Some school divisions, especially in rural and northern Manitoba, they're having trouble recruiting qualified teachers. They are being allowed to hire people on a temporary basis who have only grade 12, just like the permit teachers of the past.
I loved learning that fact about your father, Mr. Goldsborough.
Mm-hmm.
What's up for next week, Gordon?
Well, one of the programs of my organization, the Manitoba Historical Society, is the publication three times a year of a magazine called Prairie History. Now, most issues are general in their coverage of history, but the issue that will appear on bookstore shelves shortly is a special one dedicated to a single theme, the history of Prairie Aviation. It's done in recognition of the 50th anniversary of the Royal Aviation Museum here in Winnipeg and the 100th anniversary of the Royal Canadian Air Force. So I'll describe some of its contents next week.
Looking forward to that. Thanks, Gordon.
See you then. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.